Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
If we waited 2 years, it's going to explode. Nobody's going to be able to afford it. It's a disaster. We want to get something done and get it done right.
That's the plan. That's the plan. The question is today, are they getting it done? It's 2:08 on WGN. John Williams in the Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. So here's what CNN has posted, too. In addition to the news you just heard here on WGN Radio, the Republican health care legislation remains in limbo this afternoon. Multiple meetings between members of Congress and the White House. It's unclear if they're even going to get a vote today. The conservative House Freedom Caucus, whose members appear to hold the key, I'm reading from CNN, met with President Trump earlier today. The session started with a standing ovation for the president. Nice. And then little obvious progress they could point to afterwards. One person that was in the meeting said it was, quote unquote, intense. The Freedom Caucus has been delivered a final offer, said a member of the House leadership. The caucus has been delivered a final offer. So to these naysayers so far, these very conservative members of the Republican Party who want it to be a little harsher, if you will, a little more restrictive, they've been given the final offer from House leadership. According to Patrick McHenry, he is the chief deputy whip. He said it's really in the hands of the members there to accept or reject the offer. And if these people don't sign on, then it doesn't pass. It doesn't mean it's the end of the thing, but it means that it's stuck on its first vote today. If they voted today, it's not clear that they will. Okay, so let's talk again to our friend who's the expert on all of this. Mary Agnes Carey is with Kaiser Health Group Partnerships. She's the editor and senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. And she joins us again on WGN. Thanks for joining us, Mary Agnes. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing fine.
You know anything more than what I now know, having just heard me read all of that?
No. There's going to be a press conference, a news conference with Speaker Paul Ryan at 3:30. We're kind of hoping then to get a little bit of more of an update, but it could be simply a status check where he says some of the things that you've just said, that it could be that negotiations are ongoing. They're trying to get this. We've heard Speaker Ryan and President Trump talk about how this is the time to make this happen. I'm sure that that message, that theme is being echoed, whether it's a meeting at the White House or a meeting on Capitol Hill. So we'll hope to get a status report at 3:30 where things stand. But I think it's going to be a long night.
3:30 Eastern time?
Correct, 3:30 Eastern time, yes.
Okay, so in about 19 minutes here, it's just now 2:11 in Chicago. I wonder if, though, they placate this, you know, vestige of the Tea Party group, if they make the cuts or the restrictions that they want there, will they then lose moderates on the other end?
That's exactly the formula, the problem that they're facing, because if they take the bill further to the right, if they make it more conservative, they do lose some of the moderates, and this is a balancing act because you've got to hit that magic number. It's about 215 votes in the House, and that's exactly what they have to balance. If they the Freedom Caucus has about, I think, 40 members. The Tuesday group, which is the moderates, also has a significant block of votes, and it's that balancing. You got to think of it as kind of a big balloon. You squeeze one end, something pops at the other.
Yeah,
it's just that way.
Is there something about the bill per se an issue? Is it the block grants to states? Is it that men have to pay for women's health care? Is there an issue or two that is particularly thorny for them?
There has been a discussion amongst the Freedom Caucus, and again, this is the more conservative caucus, that they don't like this element of the bill called the essential health benefits, which is part of exactly what you talked about. It's 10 categories of coverage they include. You know, they include maternity care, pediatric care, hospitalization, emergency room services. And there has been some concern that this array of benefits is too generous, is too costly, and that insurers should be able to pick and choose what they want to do. But the problem is that is set in statute. And the rules that govern the House and the rules that govern the Senate are different. But suffice it to say that even if the House passed legislation that strips the essential health benefits, there is no guarantee because of the Senate rules that that would be allowed to occur in the Senate.
Hmm.
So it's kind of an inside ball game, but it's the thought is that if you want to get a package on the House floor that could be approved by the House floor to make it as easy as possible to run the Senate procedural hurdles. There's a name for it, reconciliation. We're all hearing about it now. It allows the bill to pass with just 51 votes in the Senate. And as we know, Republicans only have 52 votes in that chamber, and you've got about a dozen Republicans that are concerned about various elements of the package in the Senate. So to create another obstacle may not be the way that House Republican leaders want to go. So that's one of the key elements they're talking about it now. Sean Spicer, the White House spokesman, was talking about it at the briefing, that there's some examination of this, but I'm not quite sure where that's going to end.
So if the House says, okay, we'll strip out these 10 health benefits that are currently in Obamacare, maybe that'll placate the House, but that might not fly in the Senate. Now you've got sort of a twisted version of the bill, and maybe that's not the best one. In fact, that's interesting, isn't it, that this conversation is about the politics, not the merit of health care and a health care bill.
Well, one would argue, could argue rather, that the essential health benefits are absolutely about the merits of the health care law, and it is a very key policy issue because if you make all plans offer an array of services, that can make it more attractive to healthy people who you want to enroll, for example, to help balance the cost, balance the risk pool, as they call it.
Right.
But the other thing to remember here is no matter really what the House passes, it's going to be changed at the Senate. That seems to be very clear. You have moderate senators that do not like prohibitions on funding for Planned Parenthood, for example. You have moderate Republicans in the Senate that do not like the changes in the Medicaid funding, which, again, takes it from an uncapped entitlement to a limited amount of money. There are some other areas of dispute, but one mantra, if you will, of the House Republican leadership has been to the caucus, look, folks, it's going to get changed anyway in the Senate. Let's just get it over there and keep the process going. But obviously, with the concerns here in the House between the moderates and the conservatives, they're not necessarily buying that argument.
Well, I understand your point that they need to make it as attractive as possible. That's the politics and the merit at the same time. That is, if you strip out too many of the features, then people won't sign up for it. And without the mandate, why would you sign up for something that doesn't help you? So people might just choose to not take any insurance, health insurance coverage.
Right. Yeah, they can do it. Now, if they do that, or the plan as it now exists, they get hit with a 30% surcharge for a year after they sign up that they have no coverage for about a 63-day period. So there are arguments, analysts that argue perhaps that's not severe enough, but there is something
right
in the plan, right, to try to stop that.
I think that's I just think that's the most interesting psychology experiment or sociology experiment built into this, and people don't talk about it much. But if you opt out, fine. But when you come back in, fella, we're going to charge you a 30% penalty. And I think the person who opts out doesn't think like that. They don't care. And you say, okay, let's make it more severe. We'll say that the premium will be double if you opt out and you try and get back in. That's the same person. He still doesn't care. He's young or he's poor or he's stupid or he's angry, but he doesn't care. I don't know that the number can get high enough. That's just my own sociological view on this, Mary.
You have to remember, too, that some people don't look at health insurance as an essential cost in their budgets. They're more worried, obviously, about their rent.
Yeah, sure.
Payment, that kind of thing. And so they look at it as something they'll get around to. But, of course, if they got into some sort of medical issue and didn't have insurance, then they could be on the hook for a lot of costs. So that's the other thing to think about.
I wanted to just talk about some of those 10 essential health benefits that the Obama people love, and maybe you like it if you're using these services, but some people don't for a variety of reasons. Some of it is ideological, like, oh, against my religious views or something like that. And then some of it is just something you don't want to pay for. Maternity care is on there. So is that an issue in that some men don't feel like they should have to pay for services that women would use but men would not? And is that then a problem for a congressman?
Well, that is certainly one of the arguments, right? If you were a single man You may not want to pay for maternity coverage, but I would argue the women covered by maternity coverage might not want to pay for your knee surgery when you blow it out in a weekend game on the ball field. I mean, the way this works is insurance is the balancing of risk.
Or Viagra.
Well, there you go. Another example. So you could certainly pick and choose that. But again, the idea, and this is not everyone agrees on this, but the premise behind these in the Affordable Care Act is they looked, they being the proponents of the legislation, the writers of the bill, the analysts looked at the individual market as it existed before 2010 when this became law, the ACA, Affordable Care Act became law, and said there were a lot of discrepancies in many of these policies. Perhaps they should be more balanced. And again, there were lots of folks who had health insurance that they liked, and perhaps they couldn't afford this more comprehensive coverage, or they didn't want the more comprehensive coverage. But nonetheless, this is kind of the baseline of the Affordable Care Act, and it is a key argument now whether or not that they should remain.
Well, I wonder with this plan, would the premiums go down for people? I mean, I know not for all, maybe some up, some down, but I mean, is it arguable that this really would be a much better bill for a lot of people?
Well, that remains unclear. Let me try to unpack this a little bit.
Hold on. Unpack it in 1 minute. And by the way, you may have a question or comment for our guests, too. Kaiser Health Group Partnership Editor and Senior Correspondent Mary Agnes. Carrie's on the line. These are the people that nonpartisan look at healthcare issues. They're the ones to go to. And she's been very good with her time with us. If you've got a question or comment, now's the time to call.